they're wrong even the day before. Like, my family's from D.C. It was 70 degrees yesterday. They were expected to get a few inches of snow today. Everybody woke up expecting to not have to go to work. Get your asses to work. Well, I guess they're already at work. It's 10 o'clock on Eastern time. You know, here I like to talk a little bit about some of the things that I care about. It's a little bit of the local news about what's going on here in Vancouver, some politics from down south, some pop culture, some sports. Sometimes I have some interesting guests, some comedians, some industry leaders, and just some really, really smart people. Occasionally, I just have my friends in here with me. It gets lonely. Today, I've got my friend Mo in here.
How's everybody doing?
Hey, Mo, introduce yourself to.
My name's Mo. Pretty known Issa for about, 10 years
ago. Too long. I wish I didn't know him sometimes.
Just out here in Vancouver checking everything out.
Yeah, so what do you think about your first time here in Vancouver?
I love it, man. It's incredible. The views are incredible. The food is good. The vibe is straight, so you can't complain.
Hey, shout out to Zabu Chicken.
Zabu
Chicken on Robson. Most delicious fried chicken I've ever eaten in my life.
The magical bird.
Yeah, so we went to Run the Jewels show last night. Saw Killer Mike and LP with Gangsta Boo. We missed some of the opening acts, but what you think of the show, Mo?
Show was good. Crowd had the energy, you know, surprising. Coming all the way out to Vancouver, you know, and people actually so supporting and know the lyrics and turn up, get hyped.
You know, so Killer Mike yesterday was talking about how the last time they came to Vancouver, I think, was in 2014, and they performed at the Fortune Sound Club, and they only had around 500 people at the show. And then yesterday's show, it was in the P&E Forum, and it was originally supposed to be at Vogue Theater, and they sold out so quickly that they moved it to the P&E Forum. I was curious, because if you looked in the crowd, you looked in the demographics of the crowd, I'm curious about how many people knew who Killer Mike and LP was before Bernie Sanders. Because I feel that Killer Mike's exposure to Bernie Sanders and some of the politics that he, you know, that he's aligned with and really been aligned with for a really long time, you know, people really found out about him through Bernie Sanders. And on Killer Mike's Twitter, it says he's a Pan-Africanist. This is Black History Month. I really want to know, what percentage of the people in the show last night do you think knew or know what Pan-Africanism means?
I was a guess. I'd probably guess.
Us?
0.5%.
Us. All the colored people in
2.5 or U.S.
U point SS. Yeah, yeah, so actually, we're going to start off this episode actually with a interview that we did on Tuesday during our Crimes and Treason show with a aspiring comedian from the Vancouver area, Mufaro. We're going to get into that right now. And we'll be back to talk a little bit about it's Vancouver, so... You know, we talk about the weather, we talk about housing, we talk about the pipeline, and then we'll get into some politics. Talking about why you should keep shopping at Nordstrom's, even though I don't really promote Nordstrom's. But just to do it, just to really piss some people off. So stay tuned with us after this PSA, and we are going to get into some comedy mix.
What's up, UBC? Looking to try something new and exciting this year? Then check out UBC Sailing Club. Our club offers lessons and year-round exclusive access to our fleet of monohull and high-performance sailboats, kayaks, windsurfers, and paddleboards. Whatever floats your boat,
sail!
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit our website at www.ubcsailing.org for more info.
Trouble finding affordable fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe located in the McMillan building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
I can't stop.
welcome. Thanks for coming in today.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
You want to just give us a brief introduction about yourself?
A brief introduction? Okay. My name is Mufaro Mbudzi. My name actually means happiness goat, translated in my language. And I grew up in Zimbabwe. I came here two and a half years ago, 2 years and 4 months ago to be more precise. And that's when my journey got more like, I don't know, I guess I've learned a lot about myself. I only started doing stand-up when I came to Canada. So that's what's led me to even being here today. So I just want to thank you guys again for having me.
Oh yeah, no problem. So it's not only you do stand-up, but in your family, it seems to run in your family, huh?
Yeah, so I've actually got, so like all my older siblings actually do stand-up. And the first time I ever did it was because I was downtown with my brother, who he lives in Edmonton, and my other brother was visiting from LA, and they wanted to do an open mic, and they were like, yo, you should write a set too. So I was like, ah, whatever, man, like, YOLO, I'll do it. And like one joke banged, so gave me hope, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Exactly. I was like, if one can land, then the next time maybe two, maybe three, and then in the future, all of them maybe. So
I'm guessing that everybody, maybe not everybody, but you have some funny family members. What can you tell us what that was like growing up?
Growing up, to be honest, let's see, man. I remember specifically my brother, just he was just like an out there character. This is my brother who lives in Edmonton, and we were almost like a tag team, if you know what I mean. So he was like really, really naughty. And I don't know, because he was so close to me in age and like just a bit older than me, he was sort of like, I don't want to say like my mentor, not mentor, but like I'll be like, okay, this guy thinks he's naughty, I'm like naughtier. So then it she became a thing. Bro. Yeah, exactly.
The naughty and naughtier brothers.
I just remember, and he denies this, but I remember the one time he just like took a crap like in the passage. And he just had his pants down and he was chilling there. And I don't know, I guess that inspired me to like, there's a time like I climbed into the sink and I just took a dump in the sink. And yeah, that's like,
this is a mad inspirational that, family story.
I mean, yeah, man, it's interesting. But like, yeah, I guess that's what.
I've been pooped on by a brother like before too. So
pardon?
I said I've been pooped on by a brother before too. I feel it. I feel your pain.
Well, you didn't poop on me, but like,
I mean,
I was just there, but to like, witness.
But figuratively.
Yeah, yeah. Now I feel you.
Yeah.
There's been worse poops than that, if we're speaking figuratively. But yeah.
So that's how you got into comedy. And so how do you feel the Vancouver comedy scene is?
Vancouver comedy scene, honestly, I feel like I'm going to comment on it as I'm just going to blanket it. There's not many, I mean, it's pretty good. I think it's very supportive. Like people, like everybody has a chance, if you know what I'm saying. In terms of the kind of like the people out there, I don't feel like there are many who are that different, very different.
Oh yeah.
It seems almost like a structure. There's like a rubric to how people, you know, take up the art, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely do appreciate those people out there who are like, just have that thing, you know, make me laugh and stuff. So, yeah.
What do you tend to focus on as your comedy, like, set? Pooping and sinks?
Nah, not even. I haven't even gotten, to be honest, like, I feel like, because I'm just getting started, I haven't even, like, unraveled my whole childhood. But mostly, like, I speak about, you know, things that happen on a daily basis that I see. Like, I'll be in transit or something and notice something and just be like, oh, like, that's a thing. And then, like, when you see it happen again, it's like, oh, that's not just a one-time thing. There's actually patterns. So if I were to actually dissect, like, what I talk about, I'd say patterns of behavior and then, like, just things that have happened to me, like conversations, things I can't believe. Like, yeah, sometimes it feels like my life's a movie, to be honest. I'm like, I feel like I'm really meant to do it because it's like I don't look for material, but shit just happens and I'm like, yo, like straight up, I just tell the story. I just pass on what I've seen. So, yeah.
So, like, do you have any people who inspire you? So any comedians that you look up to and maybe like not someone you want to emulate, but someone who you respect and, you know, you can pull a little bit from them?
Yeah, definitely. I would have to say, first and foremost, I just want to shout out my brother. I think because, like, I feel like our journey has been very close. He's one of those people, through watching him, I sort of knew it was possible to, like, sort of, you know, put ourselves out there. But in terms of, like, speaking, like, top five or, like, greatest of all time, I'll definitely have to say Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah.
Is, like, yeah, that guy, like, just the layers to his material. You know, there's that surface slap that hits you in the face. Like, shit, that's funny. But, like, there's that shit you think about, and it's like, oh, snap, like, damn. And I feel like, especially because his stuff is so, it's, like, political. There's things happening in society, relationships. Chris Rock as well. I just think those guys are, like, hard hitters, you know, straight shooters. Like, when they get on stage, it's just, you know what's up.
Yeah.
Who else? Well, I mean, there's other people, too. I wouldn't put them in that league as such, but, like, yeah, I think if I'm just going to put two people or three, that's the three I'd have to say. Yeah.
I just want to shout out how you called them the greatest of all time, but your name translates to GOAT. So you the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you know, that's something I've thought about, and it's definitely one of those things that I know I'm going to use one day. I'm going to talk about it, but I first have to prove myself, you know, show that I actually am. But not definitely, I feel like it's almost like fate, destiny, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely very interesting, especially considering I never knew I was going to be doing anything, like, specifically, you know. Like, the term GOAT to me, like growing up.
Yeah, tell,
like,
us what tell us what GOAT means to you.
GOAT? Okay, now it means greatest of all time. You know, growing up, it was like...
Can you think of a different acronym for GOAT?
Oh, man. I not on the spot, no. But, you know, I just wanted to say, like, it's interesting because, like, growing up, you know, primary school, whatever, high school, that's the thing that people are like, oh, snap, like, we can make fun of this guy off this. So, you know, people, like, I would get to school and people would call me ma and all this stuff. And, like, and I was like, no, it's cool. But then I feel like, you know, like, with any sort of negative stuff, like, once you accept it or you don't take it to heart, people are just like, yeah, it's chilled. And it got to a point where it's like, oh, snap, like, this is my name. And, like, I'm so proud of it. And, yeah, it's definitely interesting to go through that transition.
So your name translates to GOAT. But I'm sure that you had people in your classmate, you had some classmates growing up who had probably similar situations with their names, or were their names all?
Yeah.
Or did you have, like, the worst situation before you came to be like, this is me?
Ish, I do not think so. Let me think. I feel like, you see, not just names, right? But people had certain things about them. Like, if you're a dark guy, like, really dark in school, then, like, you were fucked, if you know what I'm saying.
But you're in Zimbabwe. And I feel like everybody's dark.
Nah, no. You see, that's just like...
I've never been there before.
Exactly.
So that's what I think.
And you see, that's the problem, is people who've never been there before will, like, assume that. But, like, I'm from Southern Africa, and, like, the lighter people are from Southern Africa. That's just a thing, well, I think. But, yeah, you know, there's all different skin shades or whatever. It is mostly black, though.
But being dark is not good. Being dark is not good anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Not even in Africa, bro. That's
like, if you're dark, you're not safe anywhere, to be honest. And, yeah, you know, just to go back to what you were asking about, you know, meanings of names and stuff. There were people who had interesting meanings of names, too. But, like I said, it's like, it was either your name that was funky, or you were dark, or you walked funny. If your mom was really hot, that was like,
oh yeah,
people used to just sentence. and you know, we in, like, where I come from, you know, like, the high school culture, we have, like, support for, like, big sports fixtures, and we sing, we call it war cries. And yeah, you know, if someone's mom was hot, then she was, like, the theme for a war cry.
Oh.
So the whole school was like, yeah, so other people definitely had it worse. Yeah.
So, just a few weeks ago, you were on Joe Dorshak's Story, Story and a Lie. Can you tell us about the story that you told? And don't tell us if it was a lie or not. And
okay,
we have
okay. I told a story about when I went to the club, which I do, and I met this brown girl, and basically, I was talking about, you know, this girl, her name was Sarah, and I was talking about, you know, this should have been the first sign that she was, like, fucked up, because, like, Sarah's are really dope on the surface, but, like, think of every Sarah you've met, like, at the end, you're like, nah, this girl, like, really did me over, or, like, she was ruthless, you know, they're very... You know, names like Heather, Sarah, I don't trust those people. So,
I like it.
So, yeah, you know, I met this girl and basically some stuff happened. We went back to her place and then, yeah, she took my plates. Let me just say
Wait. You're going to have to explain that.
Like the thing you eat off of?
Pardon?
Like your plates? Like what you eat off?
Like from your
house? Oh, no, no.
Like she jacked you?
Oh, no, guys. Let me explain. Oh.
I thought you meant she stole your, like, cutlery.
Your dishware.
License plates. Yeah,
I don't take my cutlery to the club, man. But, no, like, back home, plates is V plates, which means virginity plates. They call it something different this side. But, yeah, that's the story I told you.
You get a plate for that?
You don't get a plate. It's figuratively.
Oh, the card.
So like Sarah took it from you.
She popped
the
cherry.
Okay.
Layman's terms.
I guess she popped my cherry. If that's what
that's how we do.
But
that
I feel
here.
Like. Yeah. I told it. No. Listen, I don't think she knew, but like obviously I knew.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it was just a very interesting thing.
Oh, so
and
I got a few questions.
Yeah.
I got some questions.
I can imagine.
So, when you you're going back, and you and your... So, you're here with Off the Beaten Path. That was an interview from Tuesday show, Crimes and Treasons, which we do with me, Isarian, Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Lucky Rich, Relly Rels, and Jamal Steeles on Tuesdays from 9 to 11 p.m. playing uncensored hip-hop and R&B. So if you'd like to call in at 604-822-CITR, 604-822-2487, I'm going to be playing an ad. If you'd like to listen to the entire interview, you can listen to our February 7th episode. And we'll be back talking a little bit about some Vancouver news and then moving into some Black History news. And then there's some news about the NBA All-Star Game that's happening. Is that this weekend or the following weekend?
I think it's Valentine's weekend.
Oh, Valentine's Day. What's today? The 9th? Yeah, so be this weekend coming up. So, yeah, so we'll be talking a little bit about the All-Star Game. Stay tuned with us.
Saturday, February 11th, George Bear presents Bob Marley's Birthday Bash at the Grandview Legion Hall on Commercial Drive. Come enjoy Jamaican food and refreshments and listen to the East Van All-Stars live. Get your tickets at Zulu Records, High Life Records, and Butter King.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study. Hey, it's Cynthia from the Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving K. Barber and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
Carry you.
across the room, she's smiling at me. She said, no need for names, I want you badly. Imagine what we could do. Let's get away. My flight leaves in the morning. Let's find a space that you could take me to the edge. I'll tip you over. Probably won't make it to the bed to get on the sofa. We fall to the floor, to the window, to outer space. We saw love right there. We went astray. She said she need my love. Just keep it on the low. Take it slow. Give me your all right now. Give me your all right now. Don't wanna take it slow. Take it slow. We universal souls. Give me your all right now. Leave your cool at the door. She said she want wine for me, yeah. Said she want wine for me, bitch. She wine for me, yeah. Said she want wine for me, head. Said she want wine for me, dread. Aye. Said she want wine for me, yeah. Said she want wine for me, bitch. Said she wine for me, yeah. Said she want wine for me, head. Said she want wine for me, dread. She said she want wine for me, yeah. Said she want wine for me, bitch. Said she wine for me, yeah. Said she want a wine for me, head. Said she want wine for me, dread. So won't you slow wine for me?
So you back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Calling at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-CITR. What you heard was Moluba with Needs My Love. And so we talked a little bit about how some Vancouver news. And no surprise, we talk a little bit about the vacancies here. So there's some new census data, according to Simon Fraser's city program, Andy Yon. And so they were comparing census data over several decades to see how, see exactly what unoccupied dwellings look like in 2016 compared to how they have historically looked. And what they've noticed is that it's pretty much doubled in 20 years. So what that means is it's gone from a really 4% unoccupied to 8.2% unoccupied. And what I find that very interesting is that since 1986, you just think of how many buildings that they've actually built. So not only have they continued to build more buildings and the population has risen, but the buildings have far outpaced the population increase. So, you know, right now we're currently looking... normally when they talk about homeless in Vancouver, they talk about how there's 3,500 homeless people and there's 10,000 unoccupied condos in the city. And so you look at that discrepancy and you wonder, like, man, it would be a lot easier for them to just house the homeless people than it would be for, because there's a net surplus around, 6,500 dwellings in the city that could be used for homeless people. But what the studies actually shows is that Vancouver, not including Surrey, Burnaby, or Richmond, has 25,502 units that are unoccupied, either permanently or temporary, or owned by foreigners. And most of these are in concentrated areas, particularly Cole Harbour, Marine Gateway, and Collingwood. Now, I know that if you live over in Cole Harbour or if you live over in Olympic Village, over in that area, those condos and those buildings over there, you can tell, are it just feels like a ghost town. You know, it doesn't feel like anybody lives in those apartments. And if you add up Surrey, which has 11,000 unoccupied units, Burnaby, which has nearly 6,000 unoccupied units, in Richmond, that's got 4,000, you know, let me do the math in my head, but that's about 45,000 units between Richmond, Surrey, Burnaby, and Vancouver that are unoccupied or temporarily are owned by foreign owners. And so, you know, you think about the 10,000 number that often gets thrown around, but well, with this new number from SFU and talking about 45,000, you really can start to see how maybe maybe some of these new taxes that they've implemented, the non-occupied tax, can really affect maybe renting and housing, pricing houses in Vancouver. So hopefully we can see something come of this soon. I guess we'll be able to see the effects of the tax soon enough. So, you know, as we've seen the real estate prices rise, and we've talked about that a lot on the show earlier, and we've seen real estate prices appreciate so much in the past years due to, you know, some of these causes. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like in the future. Along with the houses and the population growth, we also see that there was a study talking about the population of Metro Vancouver and how it outpaced the national growth rate. I don't feel like that's any surprise. I moved here, and I know there's lots of other people like me who, you know, see an opportunity in Vancouver and, you know, you're going to want to make this your home. So it says that since 2011, the last time that the census is taken, shout out to the Canadian census, which is a little different than the United States, because I feel like the Canadian census has a better idea. Like, maybe it's because it has less people. You know, there's less people to account for that they can do a better job. But I guess done every 5 years as opposed to every 10. I feel like 10 years is too long. But we've seen that it's grown 6.5% since 2011. And then area growth rate for the country is 5%. I'd be curious to see what the growth rate is for the United States. I feel like it's probably pretty high. I don't know what that really means. You know, I don't really think there's anything insightful besides the fact that people really like Vancouver and people want to move here. I was really trying to find some compelling local news today. I tried to look into, I guess, the NDP threatened legal action against Premier Clark's hacking allegation. And I just think that it's, I wonder if this is a new function of our, like, politics and, you know, what we can see going on in the future is that, like, hacking is the thing, you know. Trying to mine information or skew data or votes, like, are we going to see an increase in infiltration of hackers? Maybe hackers joining people's political teams, you know, unofficially. But I think that is new, but maybe, you know, hacking has been going on for a long time and we're just actually being able to start finding out about it. The BC Teachers Federation also is trying to propose a new $300 million budget boost for public schools in Vancouver. And what that includes is actually taking away some of the provincial funding away from private schools. I'm not going to lie and pretend that I'm not really familiar with how much I know about the school system here and how I know how much it's funded. And but tax dollars and supporting private schools seems to be kind of backwards. Like, you think the idea of a private school is that it's for people who, I guess, have the privilege of not going to a public school, so, like, why should they get public school money? You know, I'm sure there's probably someone who can explain to me the reasoning behind the schools getting provincial and public money. And if you'd like to, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Or if you have some BC news that you'd like to, you think people should know, and you think I should know and share, then please do that. We're going to be coming back after the break with a little Black history lesson from Mother Tarif. So stay tuned if you want to learn a little bit. If you want to learn something that you never would have possibly known, or maybe you do know and you want to confirm your own selfish scholarly ego. You want to stroke your scholarly ego a little bit. Stay tuned to after the break.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
Nothing goes together better than live music and a beer. Or two. Or five. Wait a minute. An estimated 886,000 Canadians age 15 and older abused or were dependent on alcohol in 2012. One in seven Canadians age 15 years and older experience verbal, emotional, and physical abuse as a result of another person's drinking. Make sure a fun night out doesn't ruin everyone else's, or your own. If you see yourself or someone you know slightly off key, help everyone out and step in. After all, you want to be able to remember the show tomorrow morning.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you. I told you your webs were useless.
Spider-Man! He's melting!
It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. You're here with me, Mo, in the morning, and Mother Tarif. Can you hear us?
I can. What's going on, everyone?
What's going on, Mother Tarif? You're here on Off the Beaten Path. Thank you. thank you for coming on this Thursday to show, to teach some people about some Black history facts. What do you got for us today?
For sure. Thank you for having me, first of all. So what I've been doing recently is just every day for Black history, highlighting somebody that has contributed to our history and to our culture. So the last one I did was yesterday, Michaela Ulmer. And I'm just going to read you my post. So there are few people on this planet as impressive as Michaela Ulmer. And I say that with not one ounce of exaggeration. You may recognize Michaela's face from her appearance on Shark Tank. If you don't know what Shark Tank is, get your life together, because what the hell. This precocious and ambitious young queen is the founder and CEO of her own company, which she started when she was 4, as in 1 year older than 3. I don't know about y'all, but I'm pretty sure at age 4, the extent of my convictions was that the Pink Ranger is the best ranger. So the story goes that when Michaela was young, she was stung twice by bees in the same week, and understandably, she became terrified of them. To help her conquer this fear, her parents encouraged her to research bees, and in her study, she found out that they were dying off. She decided right then and there that she had to do something. So she got to work. She tweaked her grandmother's recipe to create her own special flax-based lemonade using natural honey, and Bee Sweet Lemonade was born. She later renamed it Me and the Bees. She's used the brand and her platform to raise awareness of the bee crisis ever since, recently scoring an $11 million deal with Whole Foods. What I love most about this tiny boss lady is that she turned her passion for a really important cause into a tangible effort to make the world a better place. The majority of us full-fledged adults rarely ever do that. Guilty as charged. So cheers to Michaela for giving me faith in the next generation. Let's all do what we can to take care of the world until hearts like hers inherit it. And that's it.
Oh, so thank you, Mother Tarif. That's crazy. I read the post and and I remember have seen Bee Sweet on Shark Tank, but I didn't know that that started at 4 years old. That's crazy.
It is crazy. You know, and what's honestly, I've had so much fun doing these posts because I've been learning more about these people myself. Every day I go online and I research and I find a new person. And it's just been really cool for me to kind of learn about them. And I try to cut it down to something that people will actually pay attention to on Facebook, so it's not as long. But if you research a little bit deeper about the people I've been featuring, I mean, you'll be blown away. There's some really impressive folk out there.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Do you mind if I link your posts in the description of the radio show today?
Not at all.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Feel free to. Okay, great. So thank you, Mother Tarif, for sharing that with us. And Mo, did you have any questions? No. Oh, yes. So I will link about the Bee Sweet Lemonade and also some of the previous posts that Ms. Tarif has posted earlier in this week. Thank you for continuing to broadcast, you know, some of, you know, not only the history of Black History Month, but showing the future, and you know, the future is bright. And I think that we have to remain hopeful, because you know, I'm about to get in a little bit to you know, some of the politics from this week, and it's hard to remain hopeful sometimes when we see some of the stuff that's going on. So thank you, Mother Tarif, and hope you have a
thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you, and hope you have a nice rest of your day.
Thank you.
Absolutely, love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Event.
So, getting into a little bit of what we had going on this week, Jeff Sessions. I don't know if you all are familiar. Jeffrey Sessions is going to be confirmed as Attorney General today. Now, if you don't know who Jeff Sessions is, or what the Attorney General is, the Attorney General is basically like the lawyer for the United States. And the Senate confirmed him today. And he's a 70-year-old Alabama native who was confirmed pretty much 52-47 vote, largely among party lines. Every Republican voted in favor of Sessions, while every Democrat except for West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin voted against him. And it's really a reflection of how divided Trump's presidency has really showcased what the United States is. Really, people have lots of issues that his record really, his record speaks for itself in the fact that it raises doubts whether he can actually be a representative of all the people in America, not only the people who have aligned with the values that he believes in. Like, he found, in a 1986 confirmation, he was deemed too racist to be a federal judge, and was actually Coretta Scott King, the late wife of Martin Luther King Jr., actually wrote a 9-page letter. The letter started off with a letter to Strom Thurmond. Now, if you don't know who Strom Thurmond is, he was a senator. I think he was the oldest senator up until a few years ago, and he had a pretty bad track record before. And so she wrote a letter to Strom Thurmond, and it reads, "I write to express my sincere opposition to the confirmation of Jefferson Sessions as a federal district court judge for the Southern District of Alabama. My professional and personal roots in Alabama are deep and lasting. Anyone who has used the power of his office as United States attorney to intimidate and chill the free exercise of the ballot by citizens should not be elevated to our courts. Mr. Sessions has used his awesome powers of his office in a shabby attempt to intimidate and frighten elderly black voters. For this reprehensible conduct, he should not be rewarded with a federal judgeship. I regret that a longstanding commitment prevents me from appearing in person to testify against this nominee. However, I have attached a copy of my statement opposing Mr. Sessions' confirmation, and I request that my statement, as well as this letter, be made a part of the hearing record. I do sincerely urge you to oppose the confirmation of Mr. Sessions." Now, this letter has come up because it was read by Senator Elizabeth Warren on yesterday, and Mitch McConnell refused to let Senator Warren speak about the Attorney General. You can hear it right here.
Colleague from Alabama, as warned by the chair. Senator Warren, quote, said Senator Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President.
The senator from Massachusetts.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Is there objection?
Object.
I appeal the ruling.
Objection is heard. The senator will take her seat.
So that was Elizabeth Warren just reading verbatim, word for word, the letter that Coretta Scott King had written 21 years earlier in opposition to Jeff Sessions taking the federal judgeship. And this is for him in his hearing for the Attorney General of the United States of America. Now, what I think is crazy is that it's Black History Month, and people like to, you know, really in January, because it's Martin Luther King Day, and then we get Black History Month in February, and where people like to place these historical figures in this this romanticized, you know, ideal about, you know, what they stood for, and, you know, what actually, you know, what they stood for, what they were saying. They stand in. You really can't disagree. What would you think, Mo? You really can't disagree openly with Martin Luther King.
No. Most people just want to go along and get along, so they'll put their quote, post their little saying. Probably really don't know what it means either.
Yes. So, like, No, so most people, they talk about Martin Luther King as this individual, you know, who's made great sacrifices, and he made tremendous amount of sacrifice. Not only Martin Luther King, but everybody who worked in the freedom movement, everybody who did all types of work.
Yeah.
And then what we've seen is that, you know, when the words are read and you actually read the letters that they wrote, people actually really don't care.
People don't really stand by it.
Yeah, people don't really stand by it. So when you see Mitch McConnell and you see him sit down Elizabeth Warren for remarks about Jeff Sessions. So Jeff Sessions was named, his dad said he was named after Jefferson Davis. Now, you might not know who Jefferson Davis unless you really read up on U.S. history, but Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy during the Revolutionary War. And so he was actually, by birthright, born a racist. I feel like if your dad names you like Adolf,
it's probably inspired.
And says that it was inspired by Hitler, you would be like,
it's not too many Adolfs.
Nah, I mean you would say that questionable. Like there would have to been a time in your life when you were like, and this is when I stopped being racist. Yeah. You know.
But what's really crazy is like that person's father is like, this is a distinguished gentleman. I'm gonna name my son after him.
Yeah, this is who I want my son. This is who I want my son to be like.
This is the legacy I want to carry.
And so, just with that little bit of understanding, it's just crazy that we can actually go back in time. You know, right now where we do have voter suppression, like nobody's talking about the voter suppression in some of the southern states, particularly like North Carolina, Alabama, Louisiana, where they closed down ballot boxes. Very, you know, like weeks upcoming to the election, they closed down places where people could poll, places people where could vote, places where people could get IDs so that they could go vote. And so, you know, when you shut down access to the voting booth and people have to wait in lines, like I saw people waiting in line 6-7 hours in line just to vote. And then in some municipalities, they just walk in and walk out 10-20 minutes. Listen, like what that does is create those type of barriers. And what we've seen is that a really regression in the types of politics. Now, what we've seen also is just this crass disrespect for the American executive, judicial, and legislative. I think it's crazy that, you know, that Nordstrom just came here about a year ago, and they just pulled Ivanka Trump's brand out of the store, you know, for some of the positions that her father has made. And Donald Trump has used some of his platform to not only him, but Kellyanne Conway and, you know, some people in his staff. Because when you have to think about the president, you can't think about just the president. You have to think about the people who are around the president. And they're really addressing the fact that you need to boycott stores that are that don't have Ivanka Trump's brand in there. Like, that's a concern of the president. That's a concern of the presidential groups. That's a concern of the legislative, you know, executive branch, that his daughter can't sell her clothes. So we have an American problem. You know, we have a problem with these American companies.
We have social issues.
Yeah, we have social issues talking because my daughter can't. And I don't understand how you can see that and not think that that's a problem. Not think that that's an issue. Like, whether you think that her clothes should be sold or her clothes shouldn't be sold, whether you like her clothes, whether you want to buy them or not, how can you not think that it's a problem that the president is spending time out of his day tweeting, talking, thinking about boycotting stores?
But I think what's going to be interesting is how he addresses it and how he's going to take it from the perspective that he needs to write this for his daughter. He's not going to think of it like, oh, well, maybe we should have some sewing programs or, you know, interior design or fashion programs for young kids so everybody has a place where they can create clothes, design, do what they want to do, and see if they want to go into that avenue. But no, he's just going to focus on his daughter, make sure her clothes and dresses are in the closet, on sale, ticket right, and forget about everybody else.
That's all that matters. So when we come back, we're going to come back We're going to go away briefly and come back, and we're going to be talking to one of my friends who's stuck out in Finland. It'll be great. You won't want to miss it.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Open Media International is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
So you're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, here on 101.9 CITR. And before we wrap up, we have a special guest, Davon. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm more than special, boy.
All right. Is that Davon, where you located right now, man?
In Finland, Kauniaki, Finland. It's like in the middle of nowhere, man. It's like 3.5 hours from Helsinki.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
What do you do to spend your time, man?
What I do? I don't think you really... I should be really saying this on the air.
Nah, you shouldn't.
Nah, just keep it brief. Right,
I'm going to keep it brief.
Hey,
I'm not going to say what I do.
Hey, all right. So, Davon, we got 3 minutes right here. We got 3 minutes. I got a few questions to ask you. One, what's the most points you've ever... You played professional basketball overseas, right?
Yeah.
You've been playing basketball your whole life.
Yeah.
What's the most points you've ever scored in a game?
35.
What's the most points anybody's ever scored on you in a game?
Ah, man. Shit, like, me, on just me?
On your team.
On my team? Shit, I'd say someone scored 40 a few times, I feel like.
Hey, what would you do if somebody scored 92 points on you?
Man, I'm cold clocking him at half court. I'm running with an ultimate. I'm like Ultimate Warrior, nigga. I'm like Ultimate Warrior. Like I'm coming through off the top ropes and I'm clotheslining him at half court.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna tell the coach. if you give him the ball again, then I'm going to spear him like Goldberg. I'm going to spear him.
Yeah,
the man's ain't going to play a game after that.
Did you watch the clips of that?
Yeah, I watched the clips.
Would you?
I don't know, man. These coaches, it's not the kids' fault, but these coaches are not teaching them. They're not teaching them the right. They're not teaching them basketball right. They're not teaching them sports right. They're just not, like, I don't know what the coaches, like, my high school coach would have been like. He'd be like, hey, son, like, you think you're going to score 92 points? Like, if he was playing for him, he'd be like, you ain't scoring four. Like, no one on my team is scoring 50 points. You better pass the ball.
Yeah, like, I was listening to Bomani Jones this morning, and he said that his brother's actually the senior on the basketball team, and he wanted to sit out on senior day so that he could be fresh for the playoffs. He wanted to rest for the playoffs. Could you imagine in high school on senior day you being like, hey, coach, I'm actually going to sit this one out. It's playoff time.
Nah, I couldn't either, man. I fouled out on my senior day. First of all, I don't even know why. Like, what? Why? Like, it's all right. He wants to sit out senior day to rest for the playoffs. But then what's the point of having a high school career?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why is he playing?
Might as well.
Why is he playing?
And
then the other thing, like, yo, you're playing against a bunch of schools that are blind anyway. So you act like you're spending that much energy when you're playing. Like, you see who them dudes are playing against.
Yeah,
you can't tell him that when he show you his Instagram. You can't tell him that when he's like, look, I'm famous. All right,
well,
people cheer for me.
When he show me his Instagram, I'm going to throw his phone on the ground and I'm going to step on it.
Yeah, because I saw that, and he was they scored 92, and the other team had 124 points, so there was absolutely no defense played in the whole game.
Trade them baskets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who are coaching these kids? Like, do you seen that Williamson, the Zion kid?
Yeah, he's
like,
real.
Come on, all right, he's not. Well, he got bounced. First of all, he looked like a gorilla out there on the court.
Come on,
like,
dog. He's 16 years old. Come on, man.
He's 16 years old. Like, someone's shooting him steroids or something.
He looked like a grown man. You don't have to say, like, gorilla, right, bro. It's Black History Month.
Come on, man.
All right, well, Morgan Freeman said he don't want Black History Month. Like, what's the point of just celebrating 1 month?
All right, bro.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, have you seen Williamson do one move other than dunk?
Nah.
I haven't seen him shoot no threes. He makes no moves. He just runs. He just dunks the ball. Yeah, he's pressing R2 the whole game.
But yeah, you're right. Like, it's the coach's fault, man. And then you see people in the crowd, like,
cheering.
They were cheering because he was cherry picking. They were literally feeding this kid's
ego. Yeah, like,
ego,
what? Like, who's? I'm telling you, I would have had, like, my high school coach would have had somebody. He would have picked one of the football players, either that or, like, me or someone else. And he would have had them down there at the other foul line with him. If he catches, you'd be like, all right, Sean, if he catches the ball, take his hat off.
It's only like a few people that know, like, if you on the bench or you don't get in the game, and coach is like, hey, you, go in.
Yeah, you're supposed to go in and get a foul.
You know what you're supposed to go do. Yeah, like, yeah.
You're not supposed to go in and get a foul. You're supposed to go in and either a fight better break out or you're getting kicked out the game.
I just feel like once somebody scores, I can't remember really a situation where somebody was just dogging us. Like, football, we had the guy from Buffalo, James White, or what was his name? No, I can't remember his name, but he ended up playing for the Packers for James Starks. And he had like 200 yards rushing on us. But in football, there's really nothing you could do. Like, we was running into him as hard as we could. You know what I mean? We were running into him as hard as we could. We just couldn't tackle the dude. Like, basketball, they would just let him get layups. I'm like, yo, once you score 40 points,
man,
50 points.
Once you score, like, about four baskets on me, like, I'm starting to think, like, all right, I might have to, like, do something.
Yeah, because obviously he's playing like
I might have
like
to hurt him.
Yeah.
So I got one question for you, Davon. You in Finland, what do you miss most about anywhere else but Finland?
I mean, shoot. You know what I miss more. I miss that water.
Hey, all right,
that water.
All right.
What is that?
Nah.
That's not Mike's special stuff.
It's not Mike's special stuff. It's not more than time appropriate. Hey, Davon, I got one more question. Because I value your political insight. So Ontario schools are no longer allowed to use indigenous Native American team names. You as a Virginia guy and a Washington Redskins fan, what do you think about that?
I mean, I'm not a Redskins fan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I knew you from Virginia, and I know how you people down there
are. Y'all two are Redskins fans. I'm a Giants fan. What you mean, chill out?
All right. So what do you think about it, man?
All right.
You think it's good? I think it's great. I think it's great, personally.
I personally think it's great. Like, my high school name was the Chiefs. Like, I feel like there's nothing wrong with that name, like the Chiefs.
No, no, no. I mean, there's Chiefs of, like, there's Chiefs of everything. But what was the logo, though?
If you're taking it to, what, like, the what was Redskins, the logo, though? The logo, it was a Chiefs hat.
Was it like, was it like the Cleveland Indians Chief Wahoo, where it looks, where you just like, come
where
on,
where it looks
dog.
All goofy?
Yeah, you're like, come on,
no, 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 no. It was an actual, like, Chief, it's a real Chief symbol. Like, those I'm okay with. Like, I think there shouldn't be a problem with those, but. Like you said, the Indians one, when it's like looking all goofy and they're portraying them as like looking like a blackface.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if it's something like, if that's disrespectful, that's the same thing as a blackface. Like, come on, that should be done.
Yeah, like, yeah, it should be done. It should be done. That's I agree. Out. I agree, man. Hey, Davon. Hey, thanks for calling in. You got any last words to say to Mo?
You're going to pay what you owe.
Hey, make sure you take your vitamin D pills, man. I know it gets dark.
I do tell you, man.
Make sure you stay keep your health, man. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
It's starting to get light out here. My mind is staying free. I've been reading, man. It's like I'm locked up over here. I'm reading books. Reading the books, man.
Hey, man. Brother. Hey, man. Well, stay tuned.
Hey, how long you out there in Vancouver for?
Well, no, man. We're taking one day at a time.
Hey, one day at a time. Hey,
don't hit me with no one day at a time.
Hey. So thanks for calling in, Davon.
Hold on.
No, you don't hold up. No,
you ain't gonna. You ain't
this
go
is my show, dog. Off. Hey, thanks. For, get him off. Man, get him off. Hey. So thanks for tuning in Off the Beaten Path. I know I ran over a little bit, 10 minutes, but it was great. Thanks. We'll hear from you next week, same time every week. You can listen to us on Crimes and Treasons from 9 to 11 on Tuesday nights. You can get your Uncensored Hip Hop. And on Thursday morning, 7 to 8, while you're getting ready, you can listen to me.
Take a step back further and look at the fact that it wasn't just me and my own internal issues. There's two people in any relationship, or at least two people.
Right.
And I think that the discomfort and the urge to run away actually wasn't coming from my childhood issues. It was coming from the fact that I was intuitively picking up on the fact that his words were not matching the energy.
Right.
And so even though I wasn't outwardly able to see any drama, there was actually drama brewing under the surface, and it was my intuition telling me to run away, not my childhood issues. So how do you I'm wondering if it's one of those, like, the pendulum swings in the other direction because you're trying to overcompensate for the past mistakes. So how do you find that balance where you're aware of your own stuff and you're also still able to take a step back and almost, because you had said the guilt, it's almost like self-indulgent of me to assume that every problem is caused just by me.
Yeah. I mean, if we had the right context, actually, I'd be more interviewing you around that, because I'm actually very curious how you think the differences between what is, you know, I call kind of intuition or wisdom versus what's just, you know, our emotional crap disguising itself as wisdom. But I won't put you in that corner at the moment. But I think that that's where the question goes. You know, that's the kind of curiosity I would like to promote with people, is for you to go in and sort of sit with both of those qualities, because you may find this quality of yours that you're, you know, that you are intuitive and wise, and when that is authentic and when it is, when your sort of afflicted minds are masquerading as your intuition, tricking you into having doubts and things like that. One thing I will say is that the difference between sort of a disturbing emotion and something else like wisdom or compassion, because we have all kinds of mental Emotions is the word we use in the book, but really it's more than just emotion. We're really talking about, you know, mindsets, you could say, or mental qualities. So there's mental qualities that are also positive, like empathy and compassion and wisdom and forgiveness and generosity, things like that. The one thing that maybe you can key into is when you're experiencing the emotion, like you were, if you could have keyed into those thoughts that were telling you,